We have breaking news. The FBI uncovers more files that shows the scope of the Christians that were targeted.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. You heard the man. The phone line's open, 1-800-684-3110. And people are already calling in. Well, it's pretty crazy.
I like it.
They were ready. We'll see if that guy gets phone screened out. If he was already not knowing what we were going to talk about, but calling in, we'll see where we're going here today.
Now, could look, be great,
we'll see. You may remember for the last, couple years now?
Yes.
We've been talking about the targeting of Christians, specifically Catholics, by the FBI. And now Senator Grassley has sort of blown the roof off of it, if you will, showing that it was not some small, you know, group, as they've told us many times. You know, this was just, and maybe it was accidentally targeting Christians and Catholics. Thousands, at least 1,000. Let's just start there. Let's go minimum of 1,000 FBI agents were assigned to this.
So here's the biggest problem, and this is the old political adage that the cover-up is worse than the crime. And what we're seeing here is that Christopher Wray told Congress that this was a single product by a single field office. And we were fighting with then the Biden administration's DOJ and FBI with our FOIA, and we found out that was a lie. He lied to Congress. He said that it was a single field office, single product.
I like you said that like Maury Povich.
I was trying to channel my inner Maury. Yeah, and it was because we found out through FOIA that it was actually multiple field offices, including Milwaukee and Portland, as well as others, that were working on this together with the goal of it being an FBI document, an FBI kind of doctrine that they would follow in this new way to spy on and target Christians. And then that seemed bad enough. But now Senator Grassley has unveiled more documents that he has obtained from the new FBI that
we always have to remind people, because you think we've been saying so many issues with the FBI over the years that you forget that now there's a new team in charge. And even what Cash and Dan Bongino both said was, which is actually some really good people inside of here that were being controlled by the higher ups.
That's right. But here's the big problem. This was disseminated between analysts in 13 different field offices, agents in 3 different field offices, intelligence analysts, senior intelligence analysts in 3 different field offices. They viewed this product on Sentinel, which is kind of their secure way of passing work product around, from the date the product was released on January 24th of 2023 through the day prior to it being leaked. But it was also disseminated through email distribution to more than 1,000 individuals in the FBI on February 2nd, 2023. And here's the biggest concern.
Just over 2 years ago. I mean, you're not talking about a very long time ago.
Here's the biggest concern.
You're already talking about it by then.
No one of these over 1,000 individuals contacted FBI with concerns, suggestions, or negative feedback related to the work product. The FBI only received positive input indicating the importance of further outreach and external dissemination of the intelligence to mitigate the threat posed.
So now we have to respond to, what do we do with this information? You got Chuck Grassley, spry 91 years old, coming out there and getting this information for us. So now what do we do? What can be done? CeCe Hyle is going to be joining us later on in the broadcast, senior attorney here at the ACLJ. We're going to talk about that as well as a pro-life matter that we are involved in that you're not going to want to miss. That'll happen in segment 3. Then later on in the broadcast, Jeff Balaban, that's the head of ACLJ Jerusalem. He's going to be joining us live as well, as we are going to discuss the attack in Colorado, what the future looks like for that as well, and how things are feeling in Israel right now. So you're not going to want to miss that. And all of these issues, you know, tie directly into what we do here at the ACLJ. Whether that's fighting for life, whether that's fighting against anti-Christian rhetoric that is happening and anti-Christian persecution that's happening in our country and around the world, you need to be part of the team right now. I ask you to donate today at ACLJ.org and become an ACLJ champion, if you will. Do it right now as we're in the break. Let me know in the chat that you did it. Phone lines are open also. Give us a call.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Secular Love. A bunch of you are joining us online. I encourage you, if you haven't subscribed, hit that subscribe button. It's very easy. So just go ahead and do that. Join the over 488,000 people that are on just our YouTube channel alone, plus all the people that are on Rumble, plus all the people on Facebook, the millions on Facebook, plus however many that are on X. I mean, so many people. Then a lot of people just go to aclj.org. A lot of you listen on the radio, watch online, or watch on Salem News Channel, but I encourage you actually to get involved in the way that we do this show, because the interactivity is very cool. You get to comment, you get to chat. Let me know in the chat right now, by the way, where you're watching from. I love to see that. I go through them during the breaks and just check in, because people watch from all over the world. I think that's what the beauty of the internet is, that we can reach all ends of the world. We're able to connect with people you never thought we'd be able to connect with, because the work of the ACLJ goes beyond the borders of America, whether that's the ECLJ, the European Center, where my brother is right now, or maybe it is what's going on in our ACLJ Jerusalem office. Obviously, that cannot be any more important than what's happening right now in Israel, that we are there for. And that is why the ACLJ is here. Look, I don't usually do this little pitch right off the top, but I did want to give you a moment to understand that all these topics we're talking about today, whether that is this anti-Christian bias that was coming out of the FBI, where 1,000 FBI staff were told to start investigating Christians. We know that this was a lie and a cover-up that came from the FBI, and now Senator Grassley and other people have really blown the roof off of it, blown the lid off of it, saying, look at what this actually was. That is because we're able to be there as well. We're able to get these FOIA requests in. We're able to get our legal requests in. We're also able to expose what's happening through the media. And this media, again, has no borders. We can reach everyone, whether that is through a option like YouTube or even Rumble. Rumble, a free speech platform. They've been censored in certain places in certain countries, but we're able to reach a lot of different places because of our incredible media team. And I always like to shine a light on them, because I feel like they don't get as much credit. You don't see them as much as they deserve, because we wouldn't be able to do this show. We wouldn't be able to put up all the incredible content we put out without them. And I want to hire the best of the best. I always say that, whether that's our legal team or our media team, we can't do that without you. So I encourage you to become an ACLJ champion today. That's someone that gives on a monthly basis automatically. It's real easy. Just go to aclj.org. When you're making a donation, just opt in. You can do that as little as $5 a month, you know, and go up for as high as you want. But Will, I didn't mean to do an ad pitch there. That's usually what I save for the end. But you know what? All of these issues tie into the work that we do directly each and every day. Yesterday, we were talking Sharpie Gate, maybe not quite as direct. Oh, I have a Sharpie right here. Not Sharpie Gate. That was election. auto pin gate. Different gate.
That's
different
right.
Pin, different gate.
But what we see here from Senator Grassley, as well as the work that we've done, where we uncovered kind of that next step through our FOIA process, he's actually found more documentation to see how widespread it was. But we also just sent, May 29th, just a few days ago, a brand new FOIA on this, because we're realizing, and after discussions even with our team, with Senator Grassley's office, that this was much broader, much more targeted than they told the American people. And so this new FOIA, the purpose of this request is to investigate how and why religious organizations and Americans are under surveillance. So when you get a new FBI and you get great leaders like Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, we know there was a bunch of issues at the FBI under the Biden administration, and even the deep state FBI under President Trump's first term that he was battling the entire 4 years. It took this change in leadership. So we know there's a lot of issues. And sometimes you need the external organizations like the ACLJ, like Congress, to point those leaders in the direction of the bad activity so that it can be fixed. Because I'll remind you, in Senator Grassley's revelation of this, the 1,000 individuals that received this, no one contacted with concerns, suggestions, or negative feedback related to the product. And what was in that product that they should have? Let's remind you. They were talking about that they believe that radical traditional Catholics' interest is likely to increase over the next 12 to 24 months in the run-up to the next general election cycle, complicating the overall threat picture while also creating new opportunities for mitigation efforts. New opportunities, spying, putting people in, observers, informants into churches. But then it also gets into why they think that these catalyzing events could happen, because they think that radical traditional Catholics have common cause include legislation or judicial decisions in the areas such as abortion rights, immigration, affirmative action. So leading up to the election, people that have beliefs and support conservative causes were seen as a terror threat to this FBI. And over 1,000 people got this, and none of them gave negative feedback until a brave whistleblower came forward, and we found out about
it. Here's the thing. That person was very brave, a brave whistleblower, because look, most people want to protect their jobs. They're not necessarily going to come out there and not, you can assume that a good portion of them that even maybe felt that this wasn't right were not willing to take this up higher in fear for their jobs. We've seen what they've done to even the whistleblowers, the ones that have been on, we've represented. They've made their life a living hell often. They've tortured them. They've pretty much said, we're holding up all your belongings. We're going to make your family suffer. This was not uncommon. This is what was happening. So you know what? You could say that 1,000 people were told and no one said anything. One person did say something, but it is okay to also understand that your leadership was pushing a vibe in your office where you felt threatened and you didn't want to lose your job. A lot of people worked their whole lives to be at the FBI. And at least we have Kash Patel and Dan Bongino now saying, you know what? Maybe we were a little bit wrong, that not all these people were bad people that were there. There were some good people there. They were just scared for their careers. They weren't allowed to speak up. Free speech didn't exist within the FBI.
That's right. And one other thing that we find out, and we'll play this bite to set this up, is this was Christopher Wray talking with Congressman Jim Jordan about this 2 years ago. Let's go ahead and play bite five.
Well, your FBI wrote a memo talking about radical traditional Catholics. I'm just wondering if you can define it for us.
Well, what I can tell you is you're referring to the Richmond product, which was a single product by a single field office, which as soon as I found out about it, I was aghast and ordered it withdrawn and removed from FBI systems.
One of the concerns that Senator Grassley has...
I wanted you to say is that was a lie.
Oh, well, sorry, I already did that.
You got a double punch.
Wasted that. That was a lie. But in addition to that, what we also have is where he says, I ordered it withdrawn and removed from FBI systems. While that was appropriate to mitigate it being used as work product, one of the concerns Senator Grassley has is how it was removed from the systems may have hindered being able to get the information of how it began, because when they took it off, it also took away the spreadsheet that logged who had accessed it, how it originated, and things of that nature. So there is concern that whether on purpose or on trying to quickly cover up that this even existed, that it may have harmed the ability for the new FBI to get to the bottom of the origin of it. And so Senator Grassley has a lot of things that he's asking for them to look into, pointing them in the direction, as well as with our new FOIA. This is how you help guide the leadership to points that are very, very necessary to get to the bottom of, so we can protect the First Amendment, the freedom of association, the freedom of religion in this country that the FBI was targeting with sending in informants, undercover agents, spying on Catholic churches in the lead up to an election. We know that James Comey's FBI interfered with an election, and it looked like there were still bad actors in the FBI that were trying to do the very same thing in the 2024 election.
That's right. You gave me an idea, Will.
Yeah.
I think we need to do like a Maury Povich-style show on the deep state.
Oh.
Where you just sit there with like a card and a what do you call the lie detector?
Right.
What do you call
a polygraph.
Polygraph test.
Yeah.
And we wire people up, and then you get to just go
that
at it.
That was a lie. I'm not trained in polygraph.
Yeah, we can get you there.
Okay.
There's probably an online course for it.
Probably a certificate I can get.
Yeah. Or maybe there's a new version. Is there like an AI version that can tell?
See, the problem is I think AI itself lies many times.
This is like a Minority Report issue here.
I don't like that.
Hey, phone lines are open for you. I do want to hear from you. In the next segment, Cece Hiles is going to be joining us. We're not only going to be talking about this, but we're talking about some work that the ACLJ is doing, and you're really not going to want to miss it. So stay tuned for that. But we're going to continue this conversation going. We're going to also bring Jeff Balaban on from ACLJ Jerusalem, still continuing the coverage of what happened in Colorado, as well as how that impacts the war in Israel right now. And then we're going to take more calls and comments. So right now is a great time to get in line. If you've ever wanted to be on the air, I encourage you to do it. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Thousands of you are watching online right now. So maybe a few of you got some questions or comments. It's a great time to do it. Give us a call. Again, in the next segment, Cece's going to be joining us, giving us an idea or giving us an update on what the ACLJ is doing. The reason I said idea, Will, someone said, I love that idea, Logan. So you know what, Will? We're going into production.
Here we go.
That'll be our next fundraising drive.
See how it turns out.
I think people will get behind it. What do you think? Would you get behind Will doing a Maury Povich? I want to do like a Judge Judy kind of show.
You would make a good Judge Judy.
I know. And you would make a good Maury Povich.
I need some salt and pepper in my hair, I feel like.
Oh, it's come.
Yes.
It's come. All right, give us a call. We'll be right back with more on Seculo, but I'm ready to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Back to Seculo. As I said, phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Great time to call. Get in line. Get part of the show. We really would love to hear from you. We got a whole second half hour coming up. So if you lose us on your local station after this break, know that you can find us live always. And you can listen later on ACLJ.org, on YouTube, Rumble. We are live each and every day from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. Of course, some of you listen in California. You know this is your morning drive. But some of you may lose us. Well, when I landed in California last week, because we also have the second half hour that takes people back home. But you can catch that one earlier if you listen live. Of course, that's at aclj.org. Cece Heil, senior attorney here at the ACLJ, is in studio right now. We have talked about this case as our client, Zach Knotts. He was unlawfully arrested for one reason, and that was really that he was out there trying to convince people that they shouldn't have abortions, they should save their babies' lives. Again, out there, as this is an ACLJ classic. This is one that feels like we've done over and over and over again. It is settled law in many ways. But with the overturning of Dobbs, or the overturning of Roe through Dobbs, there's obviously a lot of new stories that come out, a lot of new issues that have now bubbled up in the fight for life. One of them, now thankfully for Zach Knotts, we were able to get that taken care of for him and his family.
That's right.
That's done.
Yes.
However, the quote-unquote law, or whatever's on the books, still stands. So the ACLJ is now taking it to the next step.
Correct. So just to remind people what this case is about, we had a client in Ohio who was simply advocating for life outside of an abortion clinic. And just like Logan said, rightfully so, after Dobbs has come and gotten rid of kind of the bad Roe v. Wade legislation and, court-imposed laws, there are other ways that this issue still bubbles up and the abortion distortion still comes to light. And this was a case of an unconstitutional amplification law. That's what it was. And so our client was prosecuted under this unconstitutional law, and we went all the way to trial. And at trial, the prosecution folded and dismissed all the charges. So we won that for our client. But what happens is that unconstitutional law is still on the books. So we don't stop there. Now we have filed in federal court against this law, and we are asking that there would be a declaration that the ordinance is unconstitutional, that there would be an injunction preventing future discriminatory enforcement, because that was another thing. They had selective enforcement of this unconstitutional law, that there would be compensation for the constitutional violations, a return of seized property from our client, and hopefully we will see justice again done and this bad law taken off the books, and it will never be used again against someone who wants to simply advocate for life of the unborn in front of an abortion clinic in Ohio.
And that key point there is that we filed the lawsuit about a week ago, but then just yesterday we filed this preliminary injunction request asking the court basically so that that Zach Knotts and others can move forward without fear of the city trying to do the exact same thing to him again while we fight the ordinance.
By the way, this isn't someone who they arrest and he goes, okay, well, I'm just going to be quiet now.
Right.
Of course, if you are this passionate, this is what you care about.
Yes.
You're not wanting to get out of jail free card, if you will, and go, well, now, I got slapped on the wrist. Never again. These guys want to be on the streets and doing this.
Right. Absolutely. And not only, again, we want it for them in this specific instance, but the bad law has to get off the books, because not only can they come after our client again, you have, other different police enforcements or whatever that don't understand the law. It's still on the books. This can happen again, and it can happen to other people. And that's the greatest thing about the ACLJ, is when we come in and we win these cases for our clients, we're winning it for everyone who wants to stand in front of an abortion clinic and advocate for life. You have the constitutional right to do that within bounds.
Really,
I mean, you can't.
Really, anyone that wants to be able to, if you say protest or make a demonstration or have any kind of public sidewalk style access, is not only limited to.
Right.
Now, obviously, the pro-life community has been a target for a lot of this.
Correct.
But it's not exclusive to that. If you're a Native American group that wants to go and protest the Atlanta Braves, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, you're allowed to do that.
That's right. And we're standing up for the rights that the First Amendment protects. And we're doing that across the board for everyone.
This is also an issue that ties into our fight for life here at the ACLJ and something we've actually worked on for a long time. And that is raising the issues of the danger of the abortion pill. So medication abortions, which are taking over a lot in many areas as the primary way that abortion is done.
Yes.
And we've been raising the issue of that the process wasn't followed for the FDA approval of this.
Right.
So we have been asking and advocating in many different ways that this be reexamined. And one of the ways recently is we just sent a letter both to members of Congress, the Secretary of HHS, RFK Jr., as well as the Commissioner of the FDA, yes, McCary. Mm-hmm. And we were asking, and our letter is titled, "The Danger Abortion Drugs Pose to Women and Babies." Basically, all the work we've done, putting it back out front, there's a new administration, and say, hey, you need to reexamine this. The FDA dropped the ball, yes, on something that does have very dangerous side effects to women that take these drugs.
Yes.
And what we've seen also is we've worked with Senator Hawley's office, who is working on legislation on this issue. And just yesterday, after our letter was sent in mid-May, as well as the advocacy Senator Hawley is doing, the commissioner of the FDA has put out a statement in reaction to that.
Yes, absolutely. So mifepristone is the chemical abortion pill. And just like you said, Will, absolutely, the majority of abortions happen by chemical abortions, over 60%. So this is absolutely something that needs to be regulated. We've fought for that. And the approval process absolutely was gone around. It's the abortion distortion again. And we have pointed out that that with the mifepristone, that it's actually 11% of women who have taken mifepristone have had serious, serious side effects. We're talking about hemorrhage, emergency room visits, ectopic pregnancies, surgical abortions, and other complications. And what the drug says is they only have a 0.05% rate of adverse events, but it is well over 11%. And these facts and statistics have caused Secretary Kennedy to say that is an alarming, alarming revelation, and we will investigate. And that's what the ACLJ does. We demand that, and we are seeing action.
Logan, this is now the second time that the HHS has responded directly because of the ACLJ's work. Our advocacy on this, sending the letter to the FDA, which falls under HHS, as well as the investigation HHS has opened into that hospital in New Mexico where our clients were told they were going to have to assist in abortions. HHS is doing it. They're taking action because of what our members are making happen.
And you got to give it to RFK and his group here. I mean, this is someone who was taking a lot of flack for being pretty pro-choice, maybe a 100% pro-choice absolutionist, if you will, a couple years ago. So I think there was obviously a concern that when he was assigned this, that the life issue would not become something they've talked about. But he actually has done what he said he was going to do, took precedence from President Trump, but it seems like his eyes are being a bit opened to this, and you gotta like that, because now you have a group that is actually proceeding and protecting human life, not just the life of the unborn. Like you said, if 11% is having adverse side effects, including death, then we need to definitely take a look at what's going on here. Look, phone lines are open for you. We have a second half hour coming up, 1-800-684-3110. If we lose you here, I want to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. Like Will said, the HHS is using us as their source, and that means they're using you. You can be a part of it right now. Be an ACLJ champion. Give monthly at aclj.org. Scan the QR code you see on your screen. Second half hour coming up. Less than a minute break. Don't go anywhere.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo, second half hour kicking off. If you're just now joining us, we're going to restate some of the top topics that we have been discussing today. CeCe Heil just joined us from the ACLJ legal team. Later on, we're going to be heading over to Jeff Balaban, the head of ACLJ Jerusalem, to get an update on the anti-Semitic attacks that happened over in Boulder, Colorado, and also the current state of affairs in Israel. Always good to check in with Jeff to know what is going on. I do encourage you, though, to go listen to that first half hour if you didn't get to. We talked in the last segment about the real health issues that are coming from what you could say the quote-unquote abortion pill, mifepristone, and the alarming new facts that are coming out of the HHS saying that 11% of people who took this medication had serious complications, including life-threatening complications. If you're listening to this, and look, you may be watching this show and going, I don't want to be judged. I don't want that. And we won't. We're actually looking for clients actively. We are looking for people. If you have taken this medication and it has caused significant side effects to you, again, we're not here to judge. We're not here to preach anything to you. But if you want to take action, all you need to do is go to aclj.org/help, fill out a simple form. You're going to be attached to a lawyer. Because we know that there's a lot of people this has harmed. And again, you don't have to come at this as now saying you're a pro-life activist. You don't need to come out and say, look, we're just talking about the pure medical issues that are coming from this. So go to aclj.org/help. Again, no pressure, no shame. We're not doing anything like that on you. Phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. Of course, Will, we are also talking about the targeting of Christians, specifically what they call radical traditional Catholics, which no one can seem to define. And when you do define it, it just seems like people who are Catholics that believe in the Bible, Catholics that believe in really conservative Christian values, and evangelical Catholics, really.
How dare they like the Latin Mass, that they're traditional in some of the rites and liturgies that they even use. But in reality, the entire framing of the memo was about the election. They were concerned that groups like these would be energized. And for unexplained reasons, they tried to turn them into violent domestic extremists instead of just active patriotic Americans. And they went so far as to start putting assets into churches, into parishes, to try and spy or be informants or try to get information about this. And it wasn't, as they told the American people and told Congress, which is a crime when you lie to Congress, saying it was a single work product out of a single field office. In reality, it was a lot of field offices, and it was thousands of FBI employees that had access to this and had it, as well as we know that the terminology and phraseology from Chuck Grassley is what we're hearing. It bubbled up earlier than the Richmond memo, that it was this kind of theory that the FBI was working on in multiple FBI field offices. And you look at the type of crime that was prevalent during the Biden administration and the things that you heard about. What you weren't hearing about was Catholics or Christians going out and committing acts of terror, of violent extremism. But that's where they decided to put their resources, and that's where they were getting over 1,000 people on board and wanting this to be like FBI doctrine to go after conservative Christians. Fortunately, that memo's been rescinded. There's new leadership, but we can't stop, because if you don't uncover it and find out where the root of it was and get rid of it, then it can regrow. And that's what we're doing. That's why we have our new FOIA out. That's why Senator Grassley is doing this. And that's why you stand with the ACLJ and make this happen. We know that you believe in this as much as we do, that the First Amendment is sacred, and that the FBI doesn't need to be going into churches spying, trying to figure out how they can get Catholics and Christians and silence their speech.
What he said. Give us a call. We'll be back here in just a moment with Jeff Balaban from ACLJ Jerusalem.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to head over now to Jeff Balaban, head of ACLJ Jerusalem. Again, a very important part of the ACLJ team, making sure that we have our presence in Israel. But also, it is when moments like this happen, Jeff. And, you know, it's easy to get fired up and emotional. And if you saw my Monday show, I was in a pretty rough mental state. I think a lot of people were. A lot of Jewish community feels this way because there's always this justification. Boulder, Colorado happens. A terrorist attack happens on a peaceful demonstration. People that are out there saying, you know, just release the hostages, not even political. I even saw Joe Scarborough saying, you know, with Barry Weiss saying, you know, how ridiculous this is where we've gotten. You know, when you have even the liberal news saying, I can't believe where that we're going. Because like I said, I sent it to some of my friends. All they would have to respond, Jeff, all I would have to say is, man, it's so horrible. I'm praying for you, praying for your family, thinking about you guys. But no, I get always a two-page justification response. And it is the big problem that we are seeing here. It's always the Jewish community. And whenever this happens, it is shown that they are somehow, you know, they can't get a hate crime. They can't get a terrorist attack because, you know, they'll give you a two-page explanation of why maybe it was deserved.
Yeah, listen, decades ago, a friend of mine pointed something out to me, and I've been seeing it's true ever since, which is when a Jew is attacked for being a Jew, anywhere in the world, it's always contextualized. There's always a reason. In other words, any Jew anywhere is somehow is responsible. I mean, there was this horrific machete attack in New York a few years ago, and they said, well, you know, it's because Orthodox Jews are moving into neighborhoods where they're not welcome, like it's their fault for moving in. Now, when two people are murdered in Washington, D.C., or this attack in Boulder, Colorado, the media contextualizes it. There's always a context. It's always because something's going on in Gaza. It's like, no, there's no context. Free Palestine has always meant one thing. It's always meant kill Jews. That's what it means. Globalize the Intifada has always meant one thing. It means kill Jews. It doesn't mean anything else, except when they bring it to America, it also means, and by the way, while we're at it, let's also go after America, which you've seen on the streets as well. So this notion that we can contextualize it as though it's okay, as though every Jew somehow is a combatant. No, we're not. We're just people.
Well, and Jeff,
and the world, the media treats us differently.
And to that point, there was criticism from the FBI when they immediately called it a terrorist attack. When we saw the video, we knew the context. Like, it wasn't necessary when someone is yelling the things he was yelling and using the tools of a terrorist. he was taking his own lessons and methodology, and he said he'd been planning for over a year from the Intifada. He was carrying out the very slogans that we hear at Columbia, at Harvard, across the country on these college campuses. When they say globalize the Intifada, he didn't decide to change that into some theoretical thing. He took it literally, like we've warned about. And what did he do? He used the terrorist toolkit of what Intifada means and carried that out in Colorado, of all places. And that's what we see. And we also hear that he told the police that he would do it again, and he wants to kill all Zionists. And that is even, at this point, a broader call. When if you include all Zionists, like you said, that includes Americans. It includes most people Christians that associate with supporting the Jewish people in the state of Israel
just
at this
having
point.
Having a state of Israel.
Right.
Not a political regime, not Netanyahu. That is just specifically saying anyone who thinks Israel should exist.
I agree. By the way, that's right. You know, Zionists has two meanings to these people, to the people who want to hurt us. It either means all Jews everywhere, no matter what their views are about the state of Israel, and or anyone who supports Israel. And in the case of the United States of America, the vast majority of people who support Israel, who consider themselves Zionists, are not Jewish. Jews are a tiny percentage of the population. And so this is a cry to violence. And we've seen this on campuses over and over again. You know, famously, the president of Washington, went to Washington, the president of Harvard, and was asked about genocide. He said, well, it depends on the context.
Right.
It's like, well, this is the context. The context is that it's open season on Jews, and soon, not just Jews, but any supporters of Israel. And we mean real violence, not just threats of violence. And we don't know. And it's the other problem we have now. Thank God there's a different administration. You know, the borders have been essentially opened for years and years in this country until Trump shut them down. We don't know how many tens of thousands of jihadis are in your state or your state. And this is another thing that we are working on at ACLJ. And one of the reasons back and forth between Washington and Jerusalem is because there's intelligence that needs to be shared in America with where a lot of these jihadis are in the United States of America. Sometimes it's a state-by-state set of meetings with various states that have concentrations of them. This is an ongoing problem we have in America. And now we're seeing it's ratcheting up in terms of violence. We have to be vigilant. America has to be vigilant. And thank God they're planning on deporting these people. And we have to look further at it in a proactive way to see what the threat is to Americans.
Well, and I think to that very point, when people would call conservatives racist for wanting secure borders because we were anti-immigrant, it was the gaslighting of the population that would hear that and believe it. When in reality, we knew that there were people on the terror watch list from Yemen that were coming across the southern border. We knew that there were thousands and thousands of Chinese nationals that were taking that route, not for tourist visas, but for nefarious reasons. And when it was so open, it wasn't just people coming here for a better life. It was people that were able to get in the mix and able to cause jihad or terror or things of this nature, or even the criminal gangs. But even the immigration issue, when you look at this, this is a part of what conservatives and people that are for a strong national security would be talking about. This is someone who came on a tourist visa from Egypt, overstayed, and then tried to use America's laws against her by trying to claim asylum. Someone who is a Muslim Brotherhood adherent from Egypt would not really have a traditional asylum claim in the United States. He was part of the friendly crowd in Egypt, and yet he's trying to use the laws against us so he could plot an attack for over a year. And that is when we say our immigration system is broken, because that is how it's being exploited, because there is no vetting. There is no background checks of these people that are using the laws that we support. We support asylum claims, but the Constitution's not a suicide pact, and they are using our laws against us to come here and plan terror on American soil.
100%. America is very much a nation of immigrants. America was founded by people fleeing oppression, religious oppression. America, it's sustained generation after generation for people who flee religious oppression. But we have to secure our borders first. You know, President Trump, when he ran from the beginning, in the first campaign, he always said he wants a big wall with a great big beautiful door. And everybody focused on the wall. No one listened to the door. And the answer is, first you build the wall. First, you tighten up our border security and know who we're letting in. Then you throw open the door because we want to have people who want to come and be Americans. But the people who want to come to subvert our society and to literally cause violence to our society, we have to stop it.
Jeff, I appreciate you always coming on here. Like, we got a couple minutes still in this segment. And I wanted to read. There was a statement that came out. I follow a lot of these like Zionist kind of accounts, and one of them is Eve Barlow, who is, you know, language, I'll be honest, is maybe not for Christian radio, let's just say. But she put, this was the day of the attack in Boulder, said, "Congrats, everyone." And this kind of reiterates, Will, what you were saying. "Congrats, everyone. The Infantata has now reached Boulder, Colorado, where Jews have been targeted in broad daylight with Molotov cocktails from the river to the sea. Palestine is free." So clearly kind of reiterating that same sentiment, Jeff, that if you are going to be saying these words, understand what they mean. And what they mean is not just we feel for people who are under oppression. We, of course we do. We feel for people that are starving. Of course we do. We want to help those people. Absolutely. But that is not what you're saying. And that is not what it means. What it means is very clear. And we saw that on the streets of Boulder, Colorado. We saw that in the streets of Washington, D.C. And sadly, I have a feeling that's not the last time we're going to hear of it.
Well, I mean, I pray that you're wrong, but, you know, my heart tells me that you're right, that unless something miraculous happens immediately, there'll be more of these attacks. And it's infected, not just it comes out of this jihadi mindset that's come here to take advantage of us. But now you see it's affected the left. It's affected the universities where calls for this globalize the intifada. We've seen this over and over again in the cases we take when we're advising faculty and students and dealing directly with the universities. They have not yet understood these are threats. These are incitements to violence and threats to violence. These are not calls for peace or humanitarian aid or anything. This is just violence. And that's why we do the work we do.
Jeff, thank you so much for joining us today. And look, we've now heard from Jeff Balaban from ACLJ Jerusalem, from CCIL, one of our senior attorneys. You obviously heard from Will and I. Now I want to hear from you. And I'm looking at our phone banks, and we got a few open lines. You got to have a response to what Jeff's had to say. You should have a response to what CC had to say. These are important issues. What do you think? Also, you can cover whatever's going on in the news. Maybe you have a question or comment for Will and I. We're happy to take it. 1-800-684-3110. And as you hear from Jeff, as you hear from Cece, as you hear from us, you see the work the ACLJ is doing. Not just informing you, letting you know what's going on in the news. Of course, that's part of it. I think that's good. I think we should always be doing that. But also taking big action, whether that's legally, whether that's through the media. We are there on all these issues. It is happening because of people like you who support the works. Go to ACLJ.org. And like I said, give us a call right now to get on the air.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Secula. We are going to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We got a few lines still open, so this is a great time to call. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and go to Bobby, who's calling in New York. Listening on the radio, Bobby, you're on the air.
Hi, from Niagara Falls on the American side. Before I ask my question, Logan, I've noticed in the last year that you're a bit of a rascal, and I think that's cool, and I bet you give your mother and father a lot of laughs. But my question is, will there be justice in terms of the people involved in planning these things against Christians, and could there be indictments, and could these people be brought to justice? And that's my question.
You know, Bobby, I think all bets are off with this Department of Justice. They have pursued some investigations that many, I think, previous administrations and attorneys general may just be like, it's in the past, let's overlook it. You think about the investigation into Letitia James, as well as some of the other criminal referrals that have bubbled up. So at this point, I don't know. But I think that it could be something like a criminal referral from Congress against Christopher Wray for lying to Congress. And that is a crime. It is a crime to lie to Congress. But it's not one you see prosecuted very often. And so if a crime isn't prosecuted when it's clearly happened and everyone saw it and there's evidence it was not true, what is the point, or what's the stop for anyone to continue to lie before Congress if, when we see these egregious examples and no one is prosecuted for that? I don't know if it will happen, but I think that The Christopher Wray one is the most obvious, I think. The work product, I don't know what statutes specifically criminally may have been broken by doing that. That wouldn't be an area I'd be an expert on. But normally a constitutional violation like that is when you could sue the government to stop it. Now that it has been stopped, it wouldn't be the individual agents that were criminally then charged. So that aspect of it, I don't think it would be the line agents that would have some sort of criminal charges, unless there was something blatantly criminally illegal violating a statute in that nature, not just a constitutional violation, which can be remedied and hopefully is remedied at this point by the new administration.
Yeah, thank you, Bobby, for calling. And look, Will, I'm a rascal.
I like that.
Rascal King.
Rascal Logan.
That's right.
I agree.
I give my parents a lot of, I mean, I'm almost 40 years old. I have children of my own, but I'm still razzing my parents.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You know, it's true. All right, let's go to Craig. Thank you for calling on the Niagara Falls side. But Craig, in Maryland, you're on the air now. And hey, still, we got enough time. If someone calls in right now, we could probably get one or two more calls. So 1-800-684-3110. Give me a call. Craig, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Just a little bit of pushback on the first segment about law enforcement when the targeting Christians. And I know we hear there's good men and women in law enforcement and the FBI, and there are, but I'm just a little frustrated with there's not enough pushback of people that see the injustice going on within that organization and not saying anything. And well, it's on your call taker, I'm kind of reminded of where the Esther's, where the Moseses are, where the people who are standing up, even though it's going to cost them something.
Well, they exist. Look, I want to make sure, Craig, that we know we've represented these whistleblowers. They are part of this. But look, I'm talking about the mass majority of people. Doesn't mean they're bad people because they're nervous for their job. A lot of people have been working, and they look, a lot of them may be hopeful, by the way, that a administration change will come and these kind of things will get exposed. Well, so it's okay to have that feeling, though.
I do kind of sympathize and agree with Craig here that when we read this, that more than 1,000 individuals in the FBI received this on February 2nd, 2023, and not one contacted FBI with concerns, suggestions, or negative feedback related to the product. That is a lot of people receiving this and not saying, are we certain there's not some constitutional violation we need to button up here, but that they only receive positive input, that is concerning, Craig. And I think that is why you hear from Dan Bongino and you hear from Kash Patel that they have, it's been taking a while because they're having to get the right people for this reform team in, and then they can start reforming it. But that's a big concern to me, because we do know the whistleblowers exist. We do know the line agents that do good work exist. We know that clients of the ACLJ have had personal cost, large personal cost for doing the right thing.
Large personal cost meaning, by the way, a financial ruin. Your home being essentially dismantled, having all of your property seized and held for endless amounts of time, for indeterminate amount of time. You had all of these issues that have come up from our whistleblowers, whether it was on this issue or other issues. It is not uncommon to feel these threats because they're real.
And not just having their pay suspended,
right,
but not allowed to seek another job.
Yeah,
they kept them specifically in limbo. When you referenced torture earlier, it wasn't like the literal, like,
Crime
torture. It was the type of torture where we're holding you in limbo, putting so much unbelievable pressure on your family so you'll cave, so that you will feel the pain of being a whistleblower, and that's not okay.
Nope, that's right. Hey, as we now head into the end of the show, and look, maybe if we can screen this one last call, we'll see if we can get to it. Let's see if we can get to one more call in just a moment here. But I do want to tell you, support the work of the ACLJ. It's very important right now. We are in the summertime. I know sometimes, you know, you got a lot of other things going on. You're not thinking about it, but we could really use your support always. All right, we are going to go to the call. Are we good? It went to green and then went to orange, so I wasn't sure. We ready? Okay, let's go to Martin, who is calling in North Carolina. Martin, go ahead.
Yes, Will had mentioned a couple of times before in the caller just before the last one about accountability for the things going on. And I think we really need to pursue accountability, because who is, or what committee or what people are involved with making these decisions?
Yes.
That the Christian church is terrorist, even going to begs to differ or begs to bring to mind that how did the military decide that pro-lifers were terrorists?
Martin, this is actually one of the things that we are working on right now, is to not only just expose that it happened, but now get to that origin story.
That's right. So one, we know that Senator Grassley is saying he is urging Director Patel to continue producing records related to the Richmond memo's origins, as well as former FBI Director Wray's misleading and obstructive response to the Grassley oversight of the memo. But also, the ACLJ is not just waiting around as well. We just sent out a new FOIA on May 29th, so just a few days ago, trying to get to the bottom of this as well. And the purpose of this request is to investigate how and why religious organizations in America are under surveillance. So when you stand with us, you stand with this work and getting to the bottom of it. And that's why when you support the ACLJ or you're a champion, you are a part of this very important work.
All right, we got 1 minute left. And like Will said, we want you to become an ACLJ champion. I'm just going to read you some of the things we are working on right now, because we have taken on numerous cases around the country and around the world right now. Jordan, like I said, my brother, you may be like, hey, where's Jordan? Jordan is at our European Center for Law and Justice right now as we speak. Because there is so much happening. He's going to give us an update of that very soon. But honestly, they've been slammed. The amount of meetings, we're getting a lot of late night texts because he's in different time zones saying, look at what we're working on right now. It's really amazing stuff. Because I think the ACLJ has no borders. No, we shouldn't be fighting on whether it's an American issue exclusively. We need to make sure we are out there spreading these kind of values and beliefs around the world. Be a part of that. Be a part of that big worldwide revolution. Go to ACLJ.org. You can become a champion. That'll really help us out, set a great baseline. But even if you just give a one-time gift, that's fine. And if you're brand new and you've never seen me before, hit that subscribe button. That does a world of help for us as well.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.